You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to Dwayne's World. Always great to have so many calls and texts come through. We're live here at the Crown Audio Hub. You can kick off the season at Crown. Game on. You can drop by and say hello. Andy and Gazy are not far away from joining us as well. Simon Hill about to join us right now. You can have a chat to Simon Hill tonight, by the way. If I listen to Simon Hill tonight at 8 o'clock on 1116 SEN, or you can download the podcast of the Global Game with Simon Hill as part of the big team. They've got a heap of stuff to discuss tonight as well, including, well, we'll discuss a bit of the Socceroos and Matildas, but they'll go in a bit more depth tonight at 8 o'clock. Simon, great to have you on. Thanks for coming back on.
No problem. How are you, Dwayne?
I'm good, and I'm looking forward to having a chat about the A-League situation at the moment. I can't believe how many texts I've been getting from New Zealand lately, which is kind of nice. I'm sure you probably get a few of them as well on your show, but Wellington's still leading the way, and it was nice to see the announcement of we're getting a couple of gun EPL teams coming here as well. So there's been plenty of global game in the news.
Yeah, there always is. New Zealand angle, of course, is interesting, not just because Wellington Phoenix are top of the league at the moment, which they are, doing very, very well under Giancarlo Italiano. Very unexpected, that success, but deserved nonetheless. And of course, last week we had the announcement that the new Auckland team, it's going to be called Auckland FC, they're coming into the competition next year. We're still waiting on whether Canberra are going to join them. So fingers crossed we're going to have a 14-team competition next season, which will make it a nice even number in terms of games. 13 home, 13 away, 26-game season. So yeah, and the All-Stars obviously have been announced over the last 24 hours as well. They're going to play Newcastle at the Marvel Stadium with Newcastle Tottenham to be played at the MCG, and an A-League Women's All-Stars game to be played as a double header with the Men's All-Stars at Marvel as well against Arsenal, who of course include several Matildas, Kyra Cooney Cross, Steph Catley and Caitlin Ford. So there's plenty to look forward to.
Especially from, well, I suppose there'll be quite a few travel down to Marvel and the MCG. It's nice to have, as you mentioned, it'd be good to have one of an arena of your own at some stage. But for these big games, you probably need the size of the MCG anyway, which is going to be fantastic for Melbourne.
Yeah, look, you know, I'm not quite as excited about Spurs playing Newcastle at the MCG as perhaps a lot of other people okay. are. And that's not me trying to be churlish. It's good for the game to make some money. And obviously, it'll be a huge crowd. So, yeah, MCG is the logical venue for it. My question is, what long-term benefit does this bring to the game in Australia? And I said this on Twitter or X, whatever it's called, yesterday, which sparked a bit of debate. But, you know, for me, it encourages fans over here to cleave towards a Premier League team more than our local teams. And that's why I'm sort of encouraged today by the fact that they have at least announced the A-League All-Stars are going to be in action in the same role, playing Newcastle, which is good. And as I say, the women against Arsenal. But I'm no great fan of two foreign teams coming over here and playing and running off with the cash and really not leaving much of a long-term legacy for our game here. But that's just me.
Yeah, it's a reasonable way to look at it, because you've been watching this thing for quite a while, growing and plateauing in Australia over the course of time. It's interesting to know whether or not the headlines... So you'd rather everyone was talking about the A-League all year, obviously. Well, the All-Star game, well, how does Australian soccer fans, if you don't mind me calling it that, believe in the All-Star game being a great concept, because in the NBA it's died a slow death and it's almost horrible to watch. It doesn't work in the AFL anymore. Will it work okay in your game?
Well, look, it's a game that worked a couple of years ago when they played Barcelona. More really because the A-League All-Stars are very competitive. I mean, they lost the game in the end, but not by much. All right, it's a friendly, but it showcased some of our local talent, the likes of Garang Kuol, who probably earned a move overseas on the back of that performance that he put in against Barcelona. So, yeah, that's why it's a good showcase, and I'm encouraged, as I say, that we are putting our local stars on show against some that the rest of the world has to offer. It's good for our players to test themselves, but it's also good for fans who might not necessarily come and watch the A-League on a weekly basis to look at some of those players and say, look, you know, we've got some talent here now. Over the last two seasons, we have sold 35 players to top leagues in Europe. I mean, that's for a small league, which cops an awful lot of crap in this country, that's pretty good. There are other countries around the world who would kill for those sorts of numbers. And it shows that we have talent in this country and that our league is okay. But if all we do every year is just put on, you know, friendlies between two foreign teams and, play You'll Never Walk Alone or Glory, Glory Man United or whatever it is, then, you know, we eschew the local game and we don't do it any favours. That's my point. It's not that I begrudge people going to watch Tottenham or Arsenal or whoever it is. You know, lots of people have a team overseas, obviously myself included, but we have to put the needs of our local competition first. And I think sometimes we're guilty of not doing that.
Well, let's talk a bit more about
doing that.
Yeah, no, I can get your point, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of reaction you get on Twitter. I'll have a look at that and on the show tonight when you discuss it in a bit more depth. Let's talk about the A-League in a bit more depth then. What did you make of the Melbourne Victory draw, and what did both teams take out of that?
Well, it was one of those games that could have gone either way, basically. Melbourne Victory's problem this season has been too many draws. They could have won it. They could have lost it. They were 1-0 down until the 70th minute. They went 2-1 up and conceded a 90th minute equaliser. It's sort of been the story of their season. Good, but, you know, not quite good enough. You look at their record this season, played 22, won 8, drawn 11, lost 3. They've lost, you know, only 3 matches, the same as Wellington Phoenix, who are top of the league, and yet they're 8 points behind, and it's that proliferation of draws that has killed them, really, in terms of their premiership aspirations, at least. They'll be in the finals. I have no doubt about that victory, and they can win it. But there are some deficiencies there, clearly, for Tony Popovic to resolve. As for Western United, I mean, if they'd shown the sort of form they're putting in at the moment at the start of the season, then they would be in contention. But as it is, you know, they're way off the pace. They're not going to make finals. They are 11 points behind the top 6 with only a handful of games to go. So, you know, it's about building for next season for them and getting crucially into that new home in Tarni where the women played at the weekend. That's really their goal this season.
And the bounce back of Western Sydney, Marco Redan was in the press a bit for not fronting up, but it's almost, is it almost worth it now?
Well, look, it's only one game, but he will also say, well, the Melbourne City game was only one game. They needed a response. There's no doubt about that. I mean, they'd had an awful week. They'd led Western United 1-0 and ended up losing 3-1. And then they went to Melbourne City and, they folded like wet cardboard, let's be honest. Melbourne City absolutely pants them. So, you know, that was a high-pressure game against Perth, played in very hot conditions over in the West. They had a lot of travel to deal with as well during the week. So it was a good show of character, to be honest, that they managed to come away with all 3 points. And they had to, you know, absorb an awful lot of pressure from Perth in the second half before making off with the win. So that'll give them a lot of confidence. You know, they're back in the top 6 now. 2 points ahead of Melbourne City. So it's in their hands, I guess, even though City have got a game in hand.
And I think Man City play Arsenal 1st of April, so it's looming on your calendar as well, which is obviously going to be a big one with Liverpool maybe sitting back waiting to pounce.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously that's a massive 6-pointer. I mean, before that, we've got the international break, so the domestic action takes a bit of a backseat for a week, with Australia playing Lebanon and the two World Cup qualifiers in our neck of the woods. But yeah, the Man City Arsenal game, I wouldn't say it's going to be decisive because obviously it's a 3-horse race. And, you know, if City win that one, or if it's a draw, then Liverpool can take full advantage because there's only a point between the three clubs. This has got a fair bit to run as yet. This one won't be decisive, but it's just as important as City's last game was at Anfield against Liverpool, which ended in a 1-1 draw. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get a similar result.
And was the not Forest decision, was that predicted, was it?
Well, it was predicted they would get some sort of sanction. The Premier League's recommendation is actually 8 points, but the Independent Commission decided 4 was enough. I'm sure Forest are going to appeal that. They're not happy with the wording from the Premier League in particular. And, of course, it throws the relegation battle into chaos because Forest are now back in the bottom three. Everton have got a second charge to answer. They've already been docked 6 points. So if they get docked, you know, for example, another 4 or 5, then they're back right in the dogfight as well. So it's not great for the Premier League, in my opinion. Really, you want these issues resolved on the pitch, not in a courtroom. But this is the Premier League trying to flex its muscles a little bit because they're trying to ward off the spectre of an independent regulator imposed by the British government. Which they don't want because they don't want what they view as being interference in how they run the league. But you know, when you look at this decision today, personally, I think a regulator would be good. I mean, you know, the clubs have to vote on sanctions. Well, if you're Luton Town and you're in the bottom three and Nottingham Forest are directly above you, which way are you going to vote? Are you going to vote for a heavy sanction or are you going to vote for a light one? You know, even if the intention is genuine, the optics are bad for me. So I think an independent regulator is long overdue.
Simon, we'll hear more on the global game tonight with you, more on the Socceroos, more on the Matildas. Obviously, you'll cover in depth and more on the A-League. So I can't wait to talk to you next week as well. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dwayne. Cheers, mate.
Simon Hill, host of the Global Game, on at 8 o'clock tonight, or you can download the podcast anytime. Joining us for a McCafe coffee catch-up, Macca's new surprise fries, turning fries into prizes. And it's great to have Macca's on board for Dwayne's World. A break, back to wrap it all up after this. Great to have your company, wherever you're listening.